Our Ask the Mayor Public Affairs program, Honorable Mayor Patrick Taylor is in studio, just back from his community coffee. We'll talk about Memorial Day, but I've heard some rumors that the police have arrested someone on drug charges.
Steve, that is correct. It is a major arrest. At the time of this recording, that situation is still fluid. I know the police are still working on it, and our police chief will be reaching out to the press, giving specific details and information about this situation as soon as possible, probably on Monday morning.
We're recording this on Friday. You're just back from your community coffee. Michael Mathis, zoning, the planning, he updated STRs, and where are we with that?
That's right. Now, I appreciate Michael being willing to come and do a presentation. He had a PowerPoint presentation that gave everyone an update on where we are with short-term rentals. We had an audience of some people who were for short-term rentals and others that were against short-term rentals. But really, in the spirit of this new initiative we have this month, the Be Kind initiative that the Highlands Cashiers Health Foundation and the Highlands Counseling Center is sponsoring, we were all kind to one another at this meeting and had a very good discussion of the issues, the situation with SDR enforcement here in Highlands. So I was very appreciative of everyone that attended the coffee. Yes, Michael did give us an update, basically explaining how the September 15, 2022 ordinance that the board approved is now being enforced using a system called Granicus, where his department can identify those people who have been doing short-term rentals prior to September 15th. And if that's the case, and if that software documents that those people have been doing the short-term rentals, they can continue doing so at this time. But for those people that have come in just recently, like in December or January, and decided they would get into that business, that software pinpoints and identifies those people's operations and gives a history that indicates they were not doing it before September 15th, and then our zoning and code enforcement people take the following actions to inform them that they have to cease and desist. So that was basically the overview that Michael presented. We also had other discussions about related matters, for example, the pending or proposed short-term rental regulations that the North Carolina legislature has reviewed this session. It's Senate Bill 667. Whether that becomes law is still up in the air. We're still watching those situations like the Senate bill. There are other bills in the legislature that our planning staff, Michael, Josh Warder, town manager, and I are tracking because they too could have a major impact on our ability to zone and enforce ordinances, especially in residential areas. One is the accessory dwelling unit bill. I believe it's House Bill 402. I don't have my notes with me, but that's a bill that could really impact our residential areas. Another one is the ETJ bill. There's a bill now in the legislature that would basically, if passed, would outlaw the use of extraterritorial jurisdiction in North Carolina. If you recall, years ago, we had an ETJ district that we were enforcing, and then a board decided that we did not need to do that anymore. But if this law was passed, no one would have extraterritorial jurisdiction in North Carolina. So we're looking at that. What we are really tracking in that bill is not just that, but there are other provisions in the bill about density and residential regulations that we are concerned would, like I say, impact our current zoning ordinances. So we're looking at all possible aspects of proposed legislation along with the League of Municipalities and other organizations. And as I said at the coffee, there were 1,500 bills proposed in the North Carolina legislature this session. It is a challenge to keep track of what's happening in Raleigh. But we're doing the best we can, and we'll try to keep everyone informed.
Yeah, the state seems to be encroaching on our local ordinances and getting into our business.
You know, Michael Mathis made a good point on short-term rentals. He hears people saying, you're violating my property rights. That's one side of the argument. And then other people saying, we need to have more zoning enforcement. I guess the big challenge is to determine the balance that we can find that will honor people's use of their property and at the same time have zoning ordinances that have meaning and have regulations.
I'd call this breaking news. Also, we have activated a brand new $900,000 belt press.
That's right. At our sewer plant, we had an aging belt press, and I'll just explain to you. When you go through the entire process of handling sewage, you have a residue of solid materials in the belt press. It goes through the press where it is compacted. It's placed in a proper container and disposed of properly. We had an aging belt press that we bought used back in 1985, and we bought it later on. Over the years, the increase in processing sewage has almost doubled or increased. That old press would break down. It was kind of slow, and it took a lot of time for our operators to do this function. But with this new press, it's state of the art, it's efficient. Instead of having to process this material for 16 hours with the belt press, the new one will do it in 3 and much better. And the good news is that allows our operators to do other tasks that are needed in the plant. And I was talking to Lamar Nix before we came out and did this recording, and I went to the coffee, and we were saying, yes, it costs money, but the investment in efficiency in the future will pay dividends on this, because it'll help us process that material better and more efficiently, and it will also free up our operators to do other things that are needed in the plant too.
We want to congratulate our Highlands High School graduates, and they're now going to go and live their dreams, you know.
That's right. I saw it on the front page of the paper, the graduating class. Wish them all the best. I know this is a special time of the year for the graduates and their families to celebrate that achievement, and we wish them all the best.
The honoring of our fallen soldiers started Thursday, the day before this taping.
I want to give a shout out to Phil Potts, who coordinates the Reeves Across America. It's very appropriate, and those flags have been placed on the graves of veterans to honor their service. And also the American Legion, on Saturday morning, we're selling poppies to benefit veterans and families at Bryson's Food Store. And, you know, that goes all the way back to World War I. A poem was written, Flanders Field and the Poppies. And it's been kind of symbolic of Memorial Day, which in a way was kind of forgotten for a while. But the poppies and the sale of poppies is now being revived. And I think it's very important to remember the fallen and the families who were left behind to grieve and to suffer for their loss. So we had that activity at Bryson's, and then on Monday at 10 o'clock at the Veterans Plaza, right in front of the police department, we'll be having a commemoration service hosted and sponsored by the American Legion Post 370. I encourage people to come and be a part of that commemoration, because this is a somber holiday. You know, growing up, as a kid, I always thought it was kind of a fun time, watch or listen on radio the Indianapolis 500 and everything. But I think our country has kind of grown toward more of a reflective holiday to really pay tribute to people that made that ultimate sacrifice. As Lincoln said at Gettysburg, they gave the full measure of devotion to this country. And I just think that it's important that we just step back, take time, and reflect on the sacrifices that people have made for our freedom and for this country.